We are ending our Inferno Sundays with a very good message. Behold the fire, where is the sheep? Behold the fire, where is the sheep? So we have prayed for fire. But what is the benefit of fire if there is no sheep? I want to share something with you. Let's move to the next level of our commitment to God. We have asked God for fire. We have prayed for fire. We have fasted for fire. We have called upon Him for fire. We have set our hearts on fire. But what is the essence of fire if there is no sheep? Genesis 22 verse 7. When Abraham told his son Isaac that the Lord has asked him to go and make sacrifice, and they were on their way to the sacrifice spot, Isaac asked his father a very, very important question. And I want to ask you that question. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, "Father, yes, my son." Abraham replied, "We have the fire and the wood." The boy said, "We have the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? Where is the sheep for the burnt offering? We have the fire. We have the fire, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" That's the question God is asking the Pleasant Place Church today. I have given you the fire. You prayed for the fire. I have given you the fire. But will you let the fire go waste? Where is the sheep? No genuine altar lacks fire. When you ask the Lord to light up an altar, He will. But what is the essence of fire on the altar if there is no sheep? What is the essence of fire if there is no sheep? You see, throughout the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, the evidence of your commitment to God was determined by five types of sacrifices. And my intention is not to teach these sacrifices, but just to introduce you to them. So I'll rush through quickly. There used to be a sacrifice called the grain offering. You can find it in Leviticus 6 from 14 to 23. This was an expression of gratitude. So the people harvest, God blesses the works of their hands, and then they take fine flour, they come with oil and frankincense, come with salt, bring it before the Lord in the temple of the Lord. Then there's fire on the altar, then they offer it to the Lord. Then they bake some and have a meal in the presence of God. And then we have the peace offering. This is an offering recorded in Leviticus 7, 11 to 13. This is for lovers of God who just want to have communion with God. They'll go among their animals, sheep, goats, cattle, whatever, and they will pick the choicest ones and they will bring it to the house of the Lord and say, "Lord, I just want to have fellowship with you. I just want to have peace with you. I just want to commune with you." And they will just come with their families and come and offer these offerings to God. And then there was the sin offering. And as the name implies, whenever they sinned against God, a family would come with a sheep or the choices of the animals, and they will bring it before the Lord and it will be burnt on the altar. They'll usually lay their hands on the head of the sheep and confess all their sins, and then they'll be burnt in the presence of God. That is a joke. Now, and then there was the guilt offering. Now, this guilt offering is not that you have sinned against God, but you have sinned against your neighbor. And you have to repay your neighbor whatever you have taken from your neighbor. You have stolen his sheep. You have to give it back to him. But you come before the Lord and offer that thing and also offer an offering to the Lord. And then there was the ultimate one, which is our focus today, the burnt offering. The burnt offering. This was the only offering that you don't eat some, you don't take some, you give all to God, and it is burnt. Oh, you don't take some. It's a sign of complete surrender. So somebody's at home and feels that I'm not committed enough to the Lord. He goes into his sheep pen, looks for the choicest, the biggest, the strongest, and picks it and goes to the Lord and says, Lord, I brought you an offering. I am sacrificing this as a sign of my total commitment to you. So you can see in the Old Testament, your relationship with God was just about offerings. Now, the Hebrew word for sacrifice is kabon. Now, kabon was derived from another Hebrew word called karaf. Now, karaf means draw near. Draw near. So you see, what they did in the Old Testament was that they always wanted to draw near to God. In drawing near to God, you came with a sacrifice. So all the time, there was fire on the altar waiting for a sacrifice. Waiting for someone to bring a sheep, a goat, something. There was always fire on the altar. And that was why Abraham's son asked him, Father, I see the fire, but where is the sheep? Because anytime there was fire on the altar, it was waiting for a sheep. The Lord has released fire. But God is asking, where is the sheep? I am asking you, are you ready to be that sheep? Is there a sheep in this house? Is there a sheep in this house? Now, we are blessed under the New Testament. Because you see, all these offerings, imagine like this morning, you are coming with a guilt offering. Somebody is coming with a sin offering. Somebody, like all of us will be coming to church carrying a goat, a sheep, a cattle. If you yourself, you know your sin is too big, you may bring an elephant. Some people will feel, I am too stubborn. You carry a goat. You know, like this Sunday, oh, there will be fire on the altar and you will kill. And we'll be receiving it and we'll be slaughtering it. And apart from the burnt offering, the pastors will be getting their share. Sometimes they get the head and then the best part, they take it, put it. In some of the offerings, they had a fork. When you have killed the animal is in the bowl. They come, they put the fork in. Boom. Whatever they get, they take. I think Old Testament pastoring was good. I'm telling you. And these people were religious. They loved God. They always wanted to get closer to God. And so they brought offerings to get them closer to God. But what was separating them from God was sin. But you see, the blood of bulls, the blood of all these things could not take away their sin. So God did something. God put all these offerings into one man called Jesus. It's called the ultimate sacrifice. the ultimate sacrifice. So when Christ Jesus went on the cross, your grain offering was taken care of. Your peace offering was taken care of. Your sin offering was taken care of. Your guilt offering was taken care of. Your burnt offering was taken care of. You should give him a better clap offering. You should celebrate the King of Kings. You should celebrate the Lord of Lords. You should celebrate God. You should thank him. You should worship him. If he hadn't been the Lord on the cross, this morning you would have brought in something here. You would have carried something to bring. Before you were allowed to enter here, you would have to offer an offering. So you see how ungrateful you are if you don't pay your tithe. You see how ungrateful you are if you cannot offer yourself as a living sacrifice. Do you know what Job did? Every evening before they went to bed, he made sacrifices on behalf of his children. Probably they must have sinned. But you cannot even wake up your children at dawn to say, let's have a family devotion and let's just worship him. You cannot even encourage your children to serve in church. So look at this scripture, what God presented. John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the lamp of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Which takes away the sin of the world. So the people wanted to draw closer to God. So they would go with sheep. They would go with goats. They would go with cow. They would go with so many things just to make sure they can get closer to God. Even those who were poor were not exempted. You couldn't come before God empty-handed. So those who were poor, they were bringing doves. You have to bring something that blood will come out of that thing before you can be near to God. But once they do it and they go back and they sin again, it separated them. All the blood of the bulls and blood of goats and blood of cattle and blood of doves could not take away the sin of the world. It only covered their sins. So they were still sinners. These people loved God. They loved God so much, but sin stood between them and God. God said, listen, I've seen your misery. I've seen your suffering. I've seen your desire to get closer to me. I am sending you a lamb. I am sending you an offering. Bring that offering to me. When Christ Jesus went on the cross, he paid for every offering that you need to pay for. I don't have to give God a grain offering. I don't have to give God a peace offering. I don't have to give God a sin offering because I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I don't have to give him a guilt offering. Christ has paid all my debts. I don't have to give him a burnt offering. Because Christ had died for me. So what do I have to do? The New Testament proposes something very amazing. Something very amazing. The New Testament sacrifice is called the living sacrifice. Now, Christ now, after he died, he has now made us his sheep. John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So when Christ went on the cross to lay down his life for us, whilst he was dying as the Lamb of God, we became, all of us became the sheep of God. Are you here? So, there is fire on the altar. We have become the sheep. And you know the kind of offering that God is expecting from us. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies, as a living sacrifice. Because the animals they took offered their bodies, but as dead sacrifices, because they killed them before they put them on the fire. You, Christ, have died for you. You must be on the fire alive. You must be burnt alive for him. You must be burnt alive for him. In other words, you cannot pray for fire and be separated from the fire. You have to be at the center of the fire. You have to be the sacrifice on the altar. You have to be the sacrifice on the altar. You have to be the sacrifice on the altar. You have to be the sacrifice on the altar. I bring you more than a song today. I am the sacrifice. Now here, sacrifice.
I am your worship and
accept
this living sacrifice.
Before we proceed with this song, I want us to answer 5 questions. It will show whether you are a living sacrifice or a dead one. You are his sheep. The altar is ready. Will you be that sacrifice? Will you be able to offer yourself and say, Lord, take me, use me. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. Wherever you want me to go, I will go. Whatever you want me to do, Lord, I am here. I am available. Lord, I am available. Lord, I am available. I'm ready for the altar. I am ready for the altar. Lord, I know the fire is burning. And you are asking, where is the sheep? But here I am, Lord. 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 Sacrifice.
Now
listen. The measure of Christian sacrifice is determined by what you are willing to forsake to wholeheartedly follow Christ. That is how we measure Christian sacrifice. What are you willing to let go so that you can follow Christ wholeheartedly? Because the Hebrew definition of sacrifice, kabon, from its root word, karav, means to draw near. To draw near. So the real Christian sacrifice is eliminating everything that is taking you away from God and you becoming the sacrifice and coming closer to him. Luke 18:28-30, Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. We have left all we had to follow you. We have left all we had to follow you. And there's evidence to that. Peter had a bumper harvest of fish. And he left it and followed him. I don't know why you have left. How much did your Christian life cost you? How much is it costing you? And how much are you willing to pay? Are you the sacrifice? Are you the sacrifice? Are you the sheep? Are you the sacrifice? Is it even costing you 1 hour of sleep every day to pray? Is it even costing you 30 minutes of sharing the gospel with someone? Is there a cost? Is there a cost to this Christian life? Is there a cost? Has it cost you something? Has this Christian life cost you something? Or is starting cost you anything? Then you are not a sacrifice. He didn't call us into a convenient living. He called us into an inconvenient living. All these testimonies about how many cars and how many houses. No, 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 no. It's about how many souls you have won. How long you pray. How you have been able to let go drug addiction, prostitution. How much has your love for him cost you? How much has it cost you? Maybe by the time we answer these questions, we'll be able to determine how much it has cost us. I bring you more than a song.
I belong to
Hashabra Bakataya.
I am your sacrifice.
Leman Shandala Bababaya.
I have more than a song.
Ale Mandala Bashika Brataya.
Ale. I brought myself.
How much are you willing to pay?
Look at
these questions. What are you living? To follow Christ. What are you living to follow Christ? There should be something you have left to follow Christ. What have you left? Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. He left his job. He left the tax collector because that tax collector's booth was seen as a betrayal, as sinful. Tax collectors and prostitutes were the most sinful people at the time of Jesus. And Jesus saw a man in the tax collector's booth and he said, come, follow me. Will you leave that kiosk that you are staying in with a guy? Will you leave that room that you are staying in with that boyfriend who is not married to you? Can you walk out of it? Can you prove how much you love him? Can you walk out of that job that is not helping you to serve him, that is making you sin? Can you get out of that? And he's not asking you that leave and then I will give you something. No, he said it's a price you must pay for your salvation. God is not transacting business with you. You cannot tell him, Lord, I am leaving this and then you will also give me this. He doesn't want to hear that. You know how some of you look like? How some of you, eh? Mr. Samgivia, can I have you? Can I have you? Juliet, can you come? Come to the stage. Let me show you something. There's some of us. How? One of you to my right, one of you to my left. Yes. So to my right is Christ, to my left is the world. And this is how sometimes, turn your back. This is how sometimes we do. We hold the world and we hold Christ. And we say, Lord, do it for us and we'll leave the world. Lord, give me a job, I'll leave my boyfriend. Lord, I work in a beer bar, I serve beer. But Lord, if you give me another job, I'll leave the job. Lord, the job I do takes me away from church. But give me a job and I will leave it. No. God wants you to say, I've let go everything. I'm holding on to you. I'm holding on to you. I'm following you wherever you go. I am not leaving you. I'm following you wherever you go. I'm following you wherever you go. I know the road is narrow and difficult, but I am ready because I am a sheep ready for the altar, ready for the fire on the altar. I am a sheep and I will follow you no matter where you take me. Who are you living to follow Christ? Who are you living to follow Christ? Who are you living? Luke 18, 20, 29 to 30. Truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or sisters or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God. Look at the demand. Do you know what? Listen. Look. No one who has left home or wife or brothers. And Jesus was speaking to the fact, some of the disciples, they have to leave home. They have to leave their wives. They have to leave their brothers. They have to leave their parents. They have to leave their children. For the sake of the kingdom, they followed. And you cannot leave a friend who is making fun of your faith. You cannot leave a group of friends that anytime you go amongst them, you sin. That the environment around them is not Christian. It dampens your spirit. It weighs you down in your faith. You can't do it. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. You are not a sheep enough. There is fire on the altar, but there is no sheep. Because somebody says, my friends are bad, but I'm good. I'm trying to win them. I'm trying, brother. You have been trying for 5 years. You don't even tell them where you go to church. You don't even tell them about Jesus. You do what they do. You do what they do. They drink, you drink. They smoke, you smoke. They chase girls, you chase girls. All the things they do as sinners, you do. The only difference between you and them is where you spend Sunday mornings. Those girls, those slay queens that have become your friends, they have become your heroes, they have become the people who set standards for you. You want to belong? You want to belong? You want to belong? The real deal is Jesus. Where are you living to follow Christ? I remember mommy sharing the testimony. You know where I met mommy? The community she came and joined this church, whose Bible school I attended that we met. Mommy lived in a better community, but she was surrounded by people who, they live in the same house, a room they are sharing, and this will bring boyfriend, this will bring girlfriend, this will bring this, and they'll be doing all manner of things. She said, I can't be here and serve God. I can't be here and focus. So she relocated. Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. God said in Genesis 12 verse 1, the Lord has said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. To the land I will show you. Christianity is not sentimentalism. Christianity is not, this is where I was born. It is where God wants you to be. It is what God wants to do with your life. Some of us will not have been here to become a blessing to you if we have decided that we wanted comfort. That we wanted comfort. Why are you living something to follow Christ? Why? Motives are weighed by the Lord. Proverbs 16 verse 2. All a person's ways seem pure to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. You know, Pastor Kevin said, the only reason why we worship him is because we have breath. The only reason why you are in the protocol is because you have breath. The only reason why you usher is because you have breath. The only reason why you play drums and do audiovisual and play lead guitar and do all these things is because you have breath. He weighs your motive. Sometimes the greatest enemy to your faith is not a witch in your hometown. But it is the body, the self, you cannot control. I want to see one sheep here. I want to see one sheep here, and the fire will burn bigger. I want to see one sheep. I want to see someone who will say, Lord, Lord, I am ready for this fire. I'm ready to be sacrificed on the altar. Lord, what can I leave? What can I let go? What can I let go? There is something you must let go. There is something you must let go. Some of you, when you leave here today, sell your smartphone and get without Facebook, let it go. Without Instagram, let it go. There is something you must let go. How are you living? How are you living to follow Christ? Luke 17, 32 and 33. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. It starts from, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And whoever loses their lives will preserve it. Christianity is about losing your life. It's about losing your life. It's about losing your life. Letting something go. What represents a life for you, if it is sinful to him, if he's taking you away from him, that is not life. He wants your time. He wants your gifts. He wants your body. He wants everything that is around you. He wants to be the first. He wants to have priority. He needs you. There's fire burning on the altar. Is there a sheep? Is there a sacrifice? Is there someone here who can say, I bring you more than a song? Can we rise?
To